If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I want to start here with the city of Tshwane. Mayor Nasi P. Moya is on the line this evening, basically to discuss some of the raids that we've been seeing on social media. A very good evening to you, Mayor, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, sis, for the invitation back in your show. And good evening to you and the listeners of Kaya FM.
We've been watching really curiously at some of the videos that have come through on social media where you've been doing some inspections at some establishments, some with really big names, and with some really horrifying videos that are infested with cockroaches and the like. What necessitated this this particular campaign?
So basically, you recall that even when we were talking about our 100 days plan, one of the priorities that we have of the six priorities is issue of bylaw enforcement. So as part of the first 100 days, we intensified bylaws where together with the Riaspana program every Friday, part of the Riaspana is then to embark on a bylaw enforcement in that particular area. So that was basically what we were doing on Friday, because we were in Centurion for Riaspana, and then we then decided, listen, residents have been complaining about what is happening at the Blue Valley Mall, and near Blue Valley Mall, there are also allegations of drugs and substance abuse, and people are dealing with drugs there. So we then went into Blue Valley Mall, knowing that it's a big establishment, and we actually, when we were making a decision to go there, I said, but why? I mean, it's pick and pay, it's pizza perfect, you know. And then there were, you know, those electronic shops, you know, where they fix your phone. Mm. And then we started, you know, we went to the first one. Can we see your papers? We then find the people without, you know, papers, including those who are employing people without papers. But part of it was to go to all the shops, because we dedicated, you know, the whole morning to it. We went to Pick and Pay. We found what we found. But, of course, it's the health practitioners that we work with. Mm. That then, and we went to Pizza Perfect, we went to Woolworths, we went to other shops around. But, I mean, this is something that we are saying as political executive. They shouldn't happen only when we're around. Mm. That this is part of bylaw enforcement. These bylaws are there for all the residents and businesses to obey. But what we are realizing is that there's been so lax. You know, the businesses are not obeying our bylaws. They're not even obeying national laws. And so, but from our side, this is just make sure that we restore law and order, we reclaim the city from the criminality that we are really experiencing every day in the city.
Riaspana is a campaign that you're obviously championing, but then one asks the question, you know, what about the inspectors, the health inspectors that should be a constant? So you wouldn't have had to have a campaign to deal with what you found if the inspection was ongoing and it was on top of its game.
Yes, that's exactly where the gap is, Pemelo. That firstly, the inspectors in Tshwane, we're lacking the required number of health inspectors to a point where so the requirement is one to a certain number of residents, and we're not even at 20% of the required number of health inspectors, to a point where now we even approach SALGA to help. So there's an issue of that we don't have enough health inspectors. Secondly, there's a very much a relaxed approach to this, to a point where when we started getting involved as political executives, we realized that some of these health inspectors, they overlook a lot of things. Mm. We don't know why. Thirdly, those who are doing the work, they don't get the support. Hence, we then in the city, we've got a multi-departmental team that looks after bylaws of all the relevant departments, because the health inspector that wants to do the right thing, they can't do the whole job without, for instance, LED, without, you know, emergency services to check the fire regulations, without someone from zoning to check the zoning of a building. But what we did what we did was to add the element of TNPD for their security. Because you can imagine that when a health inspector is alone walking into a shop where the shop owner knows that they are not complying. So we can understand why they were not intensifying. And I think the adding TMPD for their security has actually emboldened them. But also for us as the political executive to say to them, do the right thing. Whether we are there or not, we're not going to stop you from doing the right thing. I think it also emboldened them. But ideally, you want this to happen on a daily basis, where we have a database of businesses in the city that you can go on a system and track and say this business was visited on this day, they're still complying, this business is not still not complying. So, but that's the ideal that we are working towards.
So it's almost like a chicken and the egg thing, because as you said, going into the Blue Valley Mall, it's well known. Everybody knows, you know, you may not prove it, but there is this reputation that goes with that mall. And that means that even the PMPD know about what's going on there. So one has to wonder, what has then been stopping the law enforcement to do their jobs? So I understand the issue of inspectors, but you sometimes find them, you know, hanging around where they can see, where it's everybody, you know, it's in everybody's purview. What makes them not act?
I actually don't have a straight answer to that. We obviously have our suspicions sometimes, and people throw allegations that, you know what, people get paid, you know, to look away. I actually don't know if it's because they were not focusing on it. I can't give you a straight answer on that. But what I can tell you is our experience. Sometimes we go into these operations and we always say as the political executive, we are not leading these things. We are joining you because we want to make sure that you are doing the right thing. And we're learning on the job so that we can hold you accountable. You then find that there are those who get to be very timid when it comes to doing their work. And I always ask, is it because they don't want to act, or is it our presence that's an issue? And I mean, I can make you an example. Mm-hmm. So when we were inspecting spaza shops mm-hmm. as part of the president's announcement, mm-hmm. we used to record, when we are part of the operations, we used to record a high number of arrests for illegal immigrants. Then one time, I think 2 weeks, where political executives were not part of operation, they gave us a report, zero arrest. I said, are we going to the right places when we are there as politicians? Or when it's you guys, it just happens that everyone is complying. Mm. So I think also the issue of management, Pamela. If you have a team that is not managed, and people who are not committed to do the right thing, because I mean there's a whole management at TMPD, and they are doing the best that they can in managing the deployment and everything, but if the members maybe don't buy into these operations or don't have the passion for the bylaws that they need to enforce, it's a problem. In the CBD, we are trying our best to make sure the CBD is clean. You clean it in the afternoon, you confiscate, you take mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. you know. The following morning, people are back, and then you'll see a team that is standing over there. Mm-hmm. But you know that you cleaned this yesterday. Why doesn't it bother you just because you are not instructed mm-hmm. to clear the informal traders today, for instance? So I think it's a lot of issues, which I did say to the chief of police, we need to talk more with the officers, and as we do with officials, so that they understand where we're coming from as well, and just get them to be committed to this, because we depend on them to get this right.
You know, I understand your frustration, and I can almost hear it. And I'm also feeling a little bit frustrated, because I'm thinking, you can have as many programs as you like, mm-hmm. but you are not going to be everywhere at the same time. You physically cannot be there. And how are we going to make sure that whatever it is that you initiate is sustainable? Because as you said, we've seen it. You know, you have a particular program, you go into the city, there's a cleanup, and then tomorrow, it's as if you were not there. What needs to happen? What's the long-term strategy?
So to start off with, because obviously for us as the, you know, this executive in setting our agenda, we needed to acquaint people with our way of working and what we see as the direction of the city. So when we activated the Disaster Ops Center, we also then said these teams, these multi-departmental teams must continue their work, that every single day in the city of Tshwane, there is at least two operations that are happening at any area of the city. So that is happening. And through this integrated bylaw enforcement committee that is chaired by our chief of police and our chief of emergency, they are getting coordinated. And I said to them, don't even tell us the dates of where you are going and areas where you are going, because we want you to own this program. So that is happening on a daily basis. However, on the areas where you go there and you find out that work is not happening, we do have a problem, though, in terms of the workforce that we have. Let me just talk about TMPD. Mm-hmm. We have not recruited for TMPD in the city since 2015. So the men and women that are on the ground, they are like basically they are short staffed, and that's even an understatement, because then the aging workforce is now behind the computer working in the offices because they can no longer be deployed. So that is the major crisis that we have, in addition to just now stretching the resource that you have. And therefore, that's what then limits us, that sometimes we must take from one region combined with the other region so that you can you can make an impact. What helps is the involvement and the work that we do with SEPs and the Community Safety Department at province, which is through the collaborative agreement that we signed with the minister. So on the side of bylaw enforcement, that's how we are institutionalizing it. And I think I have personally been intentional to say, with or without me, work must continue. Set targets, let's monitor your targets in terms of where you go. But also, this is the teams that the same workforce that we use when we go to disconnect illegal connections, for instance. We use the same people. So we're talking about a very stretched team, to be fair. I understand that there's the issue of attitude and culture and performance that we need to deal with. But on the other hand, I don't want to be unfair to them, knowing that they are understaffed. That one of the things that we need to do, starting in the next budget cycle, to look at how many recruits we can get for TMPD just to augment that team. And I think, I mean, when you're working in with a short staff team, they are overworked. Sometimes they don't even have the resources to do the work. So we're not dealing with the over enthusiastic and resourced team here. And those are things that I take responsibility, that those are things that we must do so that this team feels supported, so that they can do the right thing. But we also have a situation where there are bad people in that workforce that now gets to be fired, whether because of bribe, because they've done something. And I mean, the one case that was chilling is the case of a police officer that raped a person. And so they are those ones that are really bad, you know, people in that space, but they are in the minority compared to those who really want to do the right thing. I mean, just yesterday I was sharing stats of our tactical unit, the amount of vehicles, hijacked vehicles that these guys have uncovered, the amount of people that they are arresting for stealing cables. And I mean, we have a team that's deployed in Jugulane, for instance. So we really have good people. But as the institution, we also need to take responsibility to say, you're not going to have a happy workforce if you don't resource them, if you don't support them, if your environment is not conducive for them to work in. I need to be fair on my remark about those with a bad attitude.
And I just want to touch a little bit on your conversation and the agreement that you have, this working agreement that you have now with the police minister, to support some of the problems that you have. I mean, we've spoken about your budget, and you know, you're struggling to maneuver. There's not much you can do with what you have. So what are you going to be getting soon in terms of collaboration, cooperation with the police to support some of your efforts with PMPD?
So the agreement was actually signed in October. So when we signed it, I think the main thing in that agreement is that we get to plan together and get our resources for Tshwane. So SAPS in Tshwane, community safety in Tshwane, and PMPD, they become one team. So where we first tested it is when we were launching the festive season. The SAPS resources in Tshwane, we pulled them in. Community safety resources in Tshwane, we pulled them in. And of course, our PMPD. That's number one. The second thing is that in terms of working, so normally you have SEPs who's having their own deployment plans, PMPD will do the same. Now, what we did was to divide Tshwane into four sectors, that when we deploy, we have a team of the formed by the three entities. They go to sector one, sector two, etc. So that has been very useful. I mean, the work that we are doing in Sunnyside, Pretoria West, and Pretoria Central, we work with SAPS as if they are our employees. I mean, it's working, but none of these teams have maximum resources to do the work. But I think it could be worse. And I think I'm very confident with the approach that we get to support each other.
We've spoken before about some of your strengths, and that's governance issues. And PMPD, some of the issues that arise are operational stuff, like procurement, vehicles that are probably taking too long to fix and are sitting in the warehouse for longer than they should. I mean, what are you doing on that end to try and get this wheel moving faster? And this I believe is your strength. So talk to me about some of the things that you're doing or should be doing faster so that, you know, there are better resources. It's not like they don't have any vehicles, but there are issues with some vehicles that are taking too long to get parts for, just because procurement is just so difficult to move forward at the speed that we'd like it to move.
I will admit that what we are doing for the institution is not like really focusing on KNPD alone. That, for instance, the issue of fleet management. I mean, we started by looking at, are we managing our fleet, especially the workshop part, correctly? So we even reopened another a depot that has been closed for some time to say, no, but use this depot then to ease pressure off the other depot. So that's on the issue of fleet. It's not only TMPT that gets affected, but they are one of the primary clients, if you may call. Because without vehicles, TMPT can't work. The other one is the issue of PPE and uniform and tools of trade. That so all they're asking for, procure and bring to us. And for us, the supply chain management, we've got issues. I think it's like that everywhere. But what we have been saying then when it comes to supply chain, we really need to augment that team. Unfortunately, what we thought could assist us in the short term, where we can ask maybe National Treasury or another reputable organization to assist us, is that no one wants to be aligned to a supply chain because of the risks that are involved there. So we are still stuck with our own. But in terms of procurement, we're really working with the group financial department, because it's not only the operational part that is getting affected. Even our projects get affected because of the capacity that we have there. But I think the issue of just making sure that we allocate the necessary resources. The other thing is just the supporting resources, like CCTV cameras, that where you say we don't really need, you know, a police officer to walk here. If there's a camera, then they can see the problem from a dashboard. Let's do that. So those are the things that we're trying to rationalize these things to say, can we do things differently so we can move faster? But we must move with a workforce that is used to working in a particular way, which AG is telling us that you must change your culture of performance because your institution has not prioritized this. Hence, people don't mind having a report for 7 days without a reading and, you know, doing something about it. But, I mean, those are things that we're not only doing for TMPD. We need to get to the root level in terms of what ought to happen let's simplify some of them, but the issue of capacity and augmenting the capacity that we have to support these other departments is something that may not be resolved in the next 6 months, but definitely something that we should resolve in a year's time.
From a national point of view, there's been a call to embrace, you know, public-private partnerships. And to what extent have, and I think there were murky waters with the city of Tshwane, obviously that was before your time. With that agreement that was in place between the city and AfriForum, where they said, no, we want to help. And then there were obviously a lot of political issues that came to the fore. I want to know how you've managed to resolve it, and how are you going to encourage others to say, yes, we want support, yes, we're here, yes, we want together, as everybody wants a country that works together in public, as I said, PPP. What's your plan there with those who say, okay, we'll come and support you, and we've got other problems here as well in the city of Johannesburg, cameras and all of that. What's your plan with clearing some of those problems that go with the partnerships that you already had formed as a city of Tshwane?
So in the first instance, we're using the platforms and the mechanisms that that has been approved by council. So either we do an MOU like we did with AfriForum, and there's a about 58 of those MOUs where an organization says, I have this service or would like to make this contribution, and then you regulate how they do it. We get those requests on a daily basis, for instance, where it's closer to a business zone, and the business would say, can we cut our own grass because you guys are taking too long? So we do have a mentality and an attitude of we are open to work with business. But the two mechanisms that we use the most is adopt a spot and a community upliftment program. And I mean, we tested the recently when there was a theft or attempted theft at Claudia's substation, where there was a transformer that was about to be stolen. Mm-hmm. Then we have a community upliftment program agreement with that CPF there, that they then look after, help us with the security to augment what we already have at the substation. In Roslyn, for instance, there is a different agreement with the Roslyn hub, the automotive hub there, where they say, we can help you beautify the area around us. So when you approach the Roslyn hub, you will see that it's beautiful, the traffic lights are working, the potholes are patched. It's because of that business. They raise their own funds. So we are open to work with business. I think the murky waters there was political, which we met with AfriForum, and we said in terms of the agreement, there is that they can't do anything without the approval of the city, because what we're concerned about was this equitable service delivery, where you have an organization that wants to limit itself from aligning with what we want to do as an organization. But we then said, but let's review these MOUs to say, are they aligned to what we are trying to do? We don't want an MOU that only wants to cater for a certain part. But in our discussion with AfriForum, they then said, listen, we don't have an issue going to Soshanguve, but we don't have volunteers in Soshanguve. They are not our members, because our organization is volunteer-based. That's the only limitation, but we're not saying no in working with you. But the point is, we are open to working with business and community-based organizations. I mean, there was a cleaning campaign initiated by residents in Mamelodi, in Attridgeville. We've seen it in Hammanskraal, in Centurion. So we're not trying to gatekeep these opportunities for those who say, can we augment your services, the city? So we are very much open to it. However, we get then to be sensitive when the service is supposed to give access to our infrastructure, because we are dealing with the issues of theft and vandalism, and we need to be careful and on who we let into our infrastructure. So that's the only one where we then have to say, no, on this one we'll rather do it ourselves because we don't want to let in a lot of people into our infrastructure.
Executive Mayor of the City of Tshwane, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. Take care.
That's Mayor Nasipi Moya.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.